TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another edition of Driving with DeMarco. My name is Greg DeMarco. I am on the Twitter at ChairShotGreg. I'm on the other forms of social media at that same address. The website is thechairshot.com. Always use your head. At thechairshot.com on the social media. You know what we have. Hard-hitting reviews, opinions, analysis, tons of attitude. Real quick, head on over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Of course, that's where you pick up your chairshot merchandise today. But go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot or go to thechairshot.com and pick store on the menu. That's the same way. It's prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. You know how this works. I am on the commute home. I live on one side of Phoenix and I work on the other. I drive a good hour plus each way. And so I dedicate some of that time to you. Now, this is the Tuesday afternoon edition of Driving with DeMarco. So it's something that we're trying to start with the bonus edition last week that was recorded late on Tuesday. It is a special guest that we're going to do on a weekly basis for the afternoon drive. And that's our good friend, PC Tunney. So hopefully technology will be kind to us and we can have a good little discussion here. He's at PC Tunney on the Twitter. So let's go ahead and bring him in. He is the chair shot of, or he is the commissioner of the chair shot of the United States of the Americas. And according to his name, probably also of the Performance Center, it's PC Tunney.
I don't know. No, it's a mystery what PC stands for. I knew once upon a time, and then that night yes. I drank too much, and then that was the end of that. So it's a mystery. It stands for whatever you would like it to stand for. And good afternoon, Greg.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. You know, Tunney could be a drink. If you think about that, like, you could order a bottle of Tunney. Yeah. Like, that's something that you could market.
Yeah, and depending.
If you ever tap into the home breweries, you could definitely market Tunney as a beverage.
Tunney, yeah, well, yeah. I mean, and depending on where you get it, it's expensive or not, you know?
That's right. Yeah, I mean, it could be. And by the way, I deserve some props for my phrase, tap into the home brewing. That's a good one right there.
I like it.
Slid that one past the goalie. So, Mr. Tunney, I hope you had a good day at work. It's always fun to talk about work and people realize we have real lives and real jobs. And that's why I like doing this, because we're real people. We have to do real shit. You mowed the lawn. Like, people need to understand that. Like, yeah. We don't just live in a basement playing with ourselves.
No, and I will say that the half hour to 45 minutes spent mowing the lawn was probably more productive than my day at work today.
Well, that happens sometimes, too. That's completely... Because the great thing is, you mow the lawn, you can immediately see the fruits of your labor. So...
Oh, and did it ever need it? So, there we go. Now it's done, and I'm happy, and that weight's off my shoulders.
There you go. Let's throw some more weight on your shoulders as we talk about wrestling. And we are talking about one of the most confusing, convoluted, misunderstood, maybe misinterpreted, maybe even misvalued topics in all of professional wrestling, and that is the ratings for Monday Night Raw. So I want to dig into that now. The Raw rating is in, and we are super excited to be able to talk about just how Raw did this week. Raw went up in the viewership, but down in the rating. So when you hear that, Tunney, like, what do you think? When you hear the phrase, Raw went up in the viewership, meaning more people watched, but it actually lost points in the ratings, what does that tell you?
It means I'm not smart enough to know the difference, because I don't know. What does that mean? One went up, one went down, everything kind of stayed the same, maybe?
Kind of. So basically what it means is that, you know, overall, more people watched Raw this week than last week. But more people also watched television this week than last week. And so Raw increased by a certain percentage, but the number of people watching TV increased by a greater percentage. So Raw didn't keep up with the increase of the overall number of people watching television is what that really means. And so, because Raw actually dropped in the top five. Last week, Raw had, you know, hours on. They occupied number 4, 5, and 6 in the top five for the night. This time they were 4, 6, and 7. So no, 5, 6, and 7. Of course, I don't know. I can't remember now. I got to look it up over at chairshot.com.
I would imagine
they dropped in terms of the top five.
Well, I would imagine the two NBA playoff games would have had something to do with that.
They did. Number 1, 2, and 3 was NBA playoffs, NBA playoffs, and then the NBA playoff recap. And then it was Raw. So Raw was number 4. Then it was Love and Hip Hop Atlanta 8 was number 5. And then 6 and 7 was Raw. So, and Love and Hip Hop Atlanta is Raw's usual competition when it's on, when there's not a live sporting event on. So basically WWE failed to keep up. So you can look at it as they did better than last week. You can also look at it as they did worse than last week. I look at the top five because everybody's competing on a level playing field. When you look at the top five, they're competing for the same viewership. But, and so in that case, they did a little bit worse, but they flipped the script a little bit on Raw, and now it's kind of where we are. But do you care about the ratings?
I personally don't. I mean, you know, you talk about the top five being more important than the number, et cetera, like that. You know, just knowing that of the options that people have when they turn on television, Raw is one of the top five options for that evening. Now, we know for certain that not right. nearly the amount of people that used to watch television are watching television now. You know, WWE's number could be exactly. even bigger and displayed even more prominently if, you know, all the number of ways that you can consume WWE was rated. So you really have to make a new Nielsen kind of system by not just going one way, but, you know, factoring in multiple streams.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Like, there's really no way to accurately, well, you could probably measure how many people consume the WWE product across all these different mediums, but I don't know if there's really one way to accurately evaluate it. Also don't know if we really need to accurately evaluate it, because at the end of the day, I think what really matters is are they being successful and do we like it? And that's, you know, what's going to really factor into it long-term, because here's the thing. People talk about ratings go up, ratings go down. 2 million people are still watching Raw, and that's more than 99% of any program on any television. So that's why it's still bankable. That's why Fox gave them a shitload of money. That's why all of that is true. But the rating was impacted by, of course, you know, Raw coming on. When you take out all the outside factors, Raw itself, Roman Reigns was back on Raw, as was Daniel Bryan and Kofi Kingston, and we have the wild card role. And is this what you would want? Do you think this is a good solution?
I think it's better than not having the wild card. I think you could have done better than the wild card, but I don't know. Is this leading to somewhere? Is this a Band-Aid, like you'd say? I mean, you know, we had our little back and forth today, and obviously I would like to get rid of the brand split altogether, and I'm not saying that you wouldn't want that either, but, and I, you know, eventually, or maybe you don't, but I just think it would make it easier for the WWE to please both of these networks. You know, now there's two different big time networks and they're going to want different things. So,
right. One of my favorite things is saying that the wild card rule, this is the wrestling news cycle, that the wild card rule is a compromise between WWE, USA, and Fox. And I love this because I'm like, they're not even on Fox yet. They've been on Fox for 5 months. Fox doesn't care what they do in May. Fox cares what they do in October. So that's why I don't buy into that news. That's just Meltzer bullshit. But I'm not in favor of ending the brand split, like you said. But I will say this. If you gave me two options and two options only, option number one was the wild card rule, and option number two was completely do away with the brand split, I would take option number two. I hate the wild card rule. I think it's a half-assed move. Like, either dig in your heels and stick with the brand extension, or blow the fucking thing up and get rid of it. I hate this half-assed wild card rule.
It's just, the whole thing's odd. And I'll kind of pick up where we left off this afternoon, is the same people are in charge of both shows, like even storyline wise. Mm-hmm. Let's take away the factor that, you know, it used to be a completely different brand that would compete with WWE that was owned by somebody else that didn't work together. Okay. You take away the kayfabe part, it's just two different rosters under the same person. Now you go into storyline, you go into kayfabe, it's still just two different rosters underneath the same person. Do you see what I'm saying? There's no reason. There's no reason for Raw or SmackDown to be at each other, so there's no real reason to really care who's on what show, so why not put them all together? Otherwise, you have to come up with a way to make Raw and SmackDown their own thing and for people to care more or less about one or the other, and I suppose that's something they've failed in doing for probably the last decade to a dozen years.
I think they did a decent job with it when they redid this brand split after WrestleMania 32. I mean, Orton versus Lesnar was brand versus brand, but they had to get past that because that was already signed. But really, they kept it pretty separate for a while there. To me, where they lost sense of everything was this shakeup just really fucked things up big time, in my opinion. Like, you know, it's kind of like how you take two really good wrestlers and you put them together and you think they'd be a really good tag team, and they're not. Or you put two wrestlers that are just amazing in the ring together. Like Shawn Michaels wrestled Mr. Perfect, and they only wrestled once. And you would think Shawn Michaels versus Mr. Perfect would be amazing, but the match wasn't that good. They just didn't mesh well, and it just didn't turn out to be as great as we all thought it would be. And I think that's what happened with this shakeup. I think it just was a bad mix, and it just hasn't worked out, and it hasn't been the excitement. Plus, it confused the hell out of you. They were still moving people last week.
Yeah.
And then they move people again this week under a new wild card rule. Like, it makes no goddamn sense.
Well, this could all stem, too, from Vince making last-minute changes all the time. I mean, you don't know what to believe here or there, but it seems like a lot of writers and some of those who have gone now and people that were in charge of different things are gone now got tired of Vince changing things at the last minute all the time.
It's definitely a unique working environment, for sure. I think we know that. I think we can all buy into and agree with that statement. We've had enough people kind of confirm that for us. But when there's so much change and there's so much instability, I think at the end of the day, Vince is just going to make decisions, because there's still a lot of people. Hey, Bruce Pritchard's only been back since the end of January. Like, even he's still kind of feeling his way through things right now. And he was there for 22 years before he took his 8 years off or whatever it was. Shit, 11 years off at this point. So, yeah, I mean, it's just kind of, you know, it is kind of haphazard, and I know from what we've been told about Vince McMahon, when things get haphazard, at some point Vince just, fuck it, we're doing this, and everybody has to go with it. And yeah, I mean, he's 73 years old. You know, right. I don't know if he knows what's best and if he knows what the best thing to do is. I just think that, you know, a lot of people said this week's Raw was better than last week's Raw. I kind of felt like this week's Raw was better than last week's Raw. You made a great comment on the Twitter. You talked about how this week's Raw kind of felt a little more like an Attitude Era Raw. And that was a really intriguing comment, because I tend to agree with it. What gave you that feeling?
Well, Vince was out there. He was out there doing whatever the hell he wanted. He was just as over as he's always been. So that hasn't really changed since then until now. But again, now Vince is part of the storyline. Vince is a heel getting someone over. Vince has a feud with somebody again, right? That's very Attitude Era, Vince having a feud with someone. Then, in addition, you have guys showing up you don't know, right? I mean, back then, even when you had SmackDown, you would still, there was no brand split, you know, for a long period of time in the Attitude Era, and you could have people showing up at any time. I don't like having the same guy every, you know, single week. Why not give him 10 days and have him the next time for SmackDown? But yeah, just the anything that can happen, the early start where you're promising some great main event and they gave it to us, right? They gave you what you wanted. What was the other thing that they did that I thought was really good? Oh, they had a nice backstage segment with Braun Strowman chasing a guy through the back, right? I mean, they used the back. They did that all the time back in the day. I just feel like whenever you have them going up against the Authority and you're utilizing the backstage and you're utilizing the storyline a little bit more than the wrestling, but then you deliver on the wrestling as well, that's really Attitude Era. That's what made the Attitude Era great. Those characters could deliver their promos and enhance their stories without going to the ring, and then even more so once they got into the ring.
Yeah, in a lot of ways, outside of the top of the card, the wrestling in the Attitude Era wasn't always so great. Sometimes it's flat out stunk, but it didn't matter because they were delivering on the stories. Another one, you know, the backstage brawl, and even though it's another McMahon, when Shane was fighting The Miz, like when Shane was getting, trying to get into the limo, Miz hits him with a chair and they were fighting, and it was kind of shot from up looking down. I felt something during that, and I realized after your tweet, it kind of felt like an Attitude Era-like segment to me. When Shane and Miz were fighting, and we had just the one camera shot of it, especially when they're running out there, and Charlie Caruso's like asking the camera guys, are you getting this? Like, it felt more like what would happen in a real life situation to me. And even though the Attitude Era was some crazy shit, I think they presented it like it was more real than it is right now. And that's a recent complaint I've seen, that WWE's product is so professional and so polished, it doesn't even look like you're watching a live show when you're watching a live show. And that's kind of interesting to me.
Well,
I felt like this week at least felt like a live show.
Right. And having people said, you know, for years, I mean, WWE stars or wrestlers that are at the top of their game on television, they're some of the best one-take actors in the world.
They really are. That's why they used to get such good commercial work, and they dealt with, you know, back then they were great for commercials because they didn't work with script. Now, of course, they have to work with a detailed script, and it all gets fucking crazy and you know, and down to the, you know, action you should take after somebody says a certain word. And, you know, it's more scripted than a Hollywood movie sometimes. So it's very interesting. But, yeah, it's you know, Andrew Belaz, who does our ratings, he had three matches on Raw rated at 3 stars or better. I can't tell you the last time that's happened. Like, outside of when there was a gauntlet of some kind, Andrew doesn't usually rate him that high because it doesn't deliver that way. So to me, the wrestling was pretty good last night. Like, I really enjoyed Roman Reigns versus Drew McIntyre, and I thought Drew carried the match. So it's, you know, I don't know what it's going to take.
I just, you know, I kind of realized even more what I meant by Attitude Era, and you kind of brought it back into my mind, is it was the way the show was presented. It was the order in which the show was done. Right? It felt like that same old formula from back in the day, when you're going to start with the opening with the most important, most over people that you need and set up the rest of the show. And not only with that, you deliver on those matches that you promised at the beginning. But as you're going along and delivering a good match here and a good match there, they put the backstage segments right into the right spots. You know, we talk about booking a pay-per-view or booking a show or writing a show. Sequence matters, and they nailed the They nailed the sequence last night, and it's something they really haven't been doing on television or on the pay-per-views, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I think you're exactly right. Like, it just felt different. It's funny, I was, I don't know, one of the million Twitter conversations I get into, one of the things I talked about was bringing back Crash TV. And I don't mean Crash TV the guy. I want to talk about Vince Russo, and everyone associates the phrase Crash TV with Vince Russo. But it was that anything can happen at any time feeling that Crash TV gave. Crash TV, to me, wasn't a booking style. To me, it was a presentation. And I guess Raw felt a little more like Crash TV last night. I think Crash TV has value and has merit, because Crash TV, to me, is must-see TV, because you can't look away. You can't get up away from the TV because you don't know what the hell's going to happen next.
Yeah, it's hard to disagree with that. I agree. It's the kind of it's the kind of television you're going to want to tune in for appointment-wise and not watch it recorded.
Exactly, because, yeah, it's the kind of thing where you'd be surprised. And it's the same thing, like, you know, watching a football game that's recorded on DVR is not nearly as fun as watching it live, because you probably got clued in to some of what happened. It's appointment viewing, and, you know, Raw's not that for a lot of people anymore, because they treat it just like a sitcom. Honestly, people treat Raw like what WWE wants it to be. That's weekly episodic television. A lot of people don't watch weekly episodic television live. So it's interesting that, you know, people expect live television viewing patterns from something that's produced as a weekly episodic show. It's just so, you know, the logic isn't even there. And that it kind of is probably why the results are so confusing. But yeah, it's just crazy. How long do you think this whole wild card issue is going to last? The wild card rule. How long do you think they'll keep it going?
Well, I mean, we got SmackDown tonight, and then we have Raw and SmackDown next week, and then that's Money in the Bank the following that very weekend. Correct?
Right. Yeah.
Well, maybe three more shows and then they stop doing it. I don't know. It could last, it could last for a year and a half. I have no idea. That's the funny thing about Vince. And
I know.
Does he,
I don't expect it to last that long. I really don't know. Like, I think it'll go through maybe a couple pay-per-views, but here's the crazy thing about it. I don't think they're going to tell us when it's over.
Right. But
I think they're just going to stop doing it.
Here's the other thing too is, and I don't know whether this is a factor and they just kind of came up with this at whim, but didn't some of them, like Roman and a couple other people, travel with the Raw roster to Europe and are not going to be on SmackDown tonight?
Yeah, I think some of that is the case, but at the same time, you know, the Europe trips are booked in advance and travel's booked and passports are booked and all of that. So a lot of times the post-WrestleMania international trip tends to be the rosters as they were before any shakeup or draft took place. Only because that's when things like that are done. So, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if Roman was traveling with Raw and is gone and isn't on SmackDown this week.
I'm pretty sure that is the case.
Which if it also is the case, then I wonder, like, did AJ travel or is AJ going to be on SmackDown this week? And if that's all the case, is this whole wild card rule just because of the international tour?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Was it just for this week? Like, that's what I'm saying right there. Did Vince just go, oh, I'll go out there and act like I don't know what the hell I'm doing and we'll call it the wild card? Actually, I just want to say one thing before we get off of Vince here is my favorite line of the whole night where I actually laughed out loud and like was entertained supremely was this very simple line. And it was when AJ and Seth were arguing, I believe. And Seth said something to the effect of, this is my show. And very slyly and very quickly and very, you know, Vince McMahon-ish, Vince went, it's actually my show, but whatever.
I saw that, which is really funny because Vince, you know, just earlier he talks about turning it over to the fans. And then yet he's still, Vince is my show. Like, that's great. I thought you were going to say one of the lines that really entertained me from AJ Styles as well is when AJ was like, maybe I'll go to SmackDown, get a couple of my friends as backup and come back here to Raw. And in my brain, I'm like, your friends got moved to Raw, you idiot. Like the Good Brothers wrestled on the show. They're right fucking there. It's like, why are you going to SmackDown when your Bullet Club buddies are on Raw with you? It just makes no sense. Like, yeah. it's hilarious. I don't know. But that's where we are, man. That's where we are. And who knows what's going to happen next. So
I'm okay with that.
Very. Yeah, we shouldn't know. But it used to be that we didn't know and we were excited. Now I feel like we don't know and it causes people stress, which is just insane. This is supposed to be our escape from stress, not our causer of stress in our lives. So that's the crazy world of professional wrestling. So anyway, let the good people know where to find you.
They can find me on the Twitter at PC Tunney, and make sure you go over on the Twitter and check out at podcast DWI. You can hear that also with It's Me DPP every week on thechairshot.com.
And this week you guys are welcoming Big Rick to the program, which means talk about unpredictability. Like, that's just, no one knows what's going to happen with Rick on the call.
I'm bringing out my I'm putting the big spurs on my cowboy boots. I'm bringing out the heavy duty lasso, and we're gonna break that Bronco. Okay.
Good luck with that. That guy. I don't even think he knows what he's doing sometimes. So I can only imagine what you guys are gonna do with him. But I'm gonna listen to it. And I'm gonna love it. So
it'll be a good time. What's going on tonight on the old Greg DeMarco show with Patrick O'Dowd and company?
On the Greg DeMarco show, so Patrick O'Dowd has to work tonight, so he will not be on the program. So it'll be myself, Miranda Morales, and Big Dave from the Attitude of Aggression podcast. And Dave hasn't been on the show in a while. Last time he was on the show was one of the was the New Japan show at the Cow Palace last year, which we actually got him a press pass to. But Big Dave will be on the line with us, and we're actually gonna pitch some ideas into quote unquote fix WWE. So we each get to bring our plan to the table. And I think what we'll do is we'll actually write it up tonight and put it out there as an article tomorrow. We'll let the people vote and see what they think of our plans for improvement in WWE. Because, you know, the three of us are all qualified to completely revamp and retool WWE's product that they put out. So that's what we're going to do.
Listen, don't fool yourself. I firmly know that in my mind, when I, you know, especially when I have the tinfoil hat on, that I know Vince is listening. Vince is always listening. That son of a bitch has stolen so many of my ideas and probably yours too.
He really has. There was, so a long time ago, you might remember, but there was this one week back when Dolph Ziggler was running around with Vicky Guerrero, where he had the ramen noodle hairdo back then. But then one day he shows up with brown, like normal hair on Raw. And like literally that Greg DeMarco show, half the show was about Dolph Ziggler's hair. And we just could not understand what the fuck happened. The next week he had the old hair again. Like, we don't even know how that's humanly possible. But like literally after one week, and of course we think it's because of us. Now, obviously it wasn't. It just looked stupid. But yeah, it's just, yeah, there's been so many things that we bring up and say and then they do. I think part of it's just our ability to see what's going on and use it to predict what's going to happen because we've been in it for so damn long. So who the hell knows? But, and of course, this week you guys will be recording Pod is War, where we get to listen to Christopher Platt yell at Andrew Belaz make it seem like it's not a big deal. And you know, Tony ignore both of them and move on to the next topic. So
that's a very good synopsis.
But all of that happens in a highly, highly entertaining fashion. And that's what people need to remember, because that's what is most important. And that is Pod is War this week. And now with no Patreon, it gets back to Thursdays, which makes me happy. So, or it can be back to Thursdays. So that's it's another fun fact. You could do Pod is War on Thursday again.
All right. Sounds like a plan.
Thursday at 8, it can kind of be the you know, because we don't have Impact coverage, because Impact isn't on Thursday anymore. So give me a thing. I know you love Impact so much, so I had to throw that in there.
I know what, yeah, you're saying. Impact. You guys talk about it.
Oh my goodness, it's actually a good show these days. But anyway, at Chairshot Greg on the Twitter, at thechairshot.com for the website. That's thechairshot.com. Always use your head, and use your head to head over to ProWrestlingTees.com. Pick up your t-shirt and have a lot of fun with that. And remember, this is the PM edition of Driving with DeMarco. This will be up on the website shortly. However, you can, of course, hear it on the Anchor site, which means you get it kind of immediately, just like you will this one. I'll be back tomorrow morning with another edition of Driving with DeMarco, and we'll have a lot of fun. So enjoy the rest of your evening, folks. I'll talk to you tomorrow morning. Drive safe and wait for the next edition of Driving with DeMarco.